up, heroes? Welcome back to another episode of One Shot. I am your host and GM, Dylan, and I'm really excited for you to hear the conclusion of Slut City and our playthrough of Scene Thieves. I had a blast, and I always have a blast playing Possible World games. Truly, these are some of my all-time faves in this collection. All right, well, enjoy the rest of this silly little heist.
Oh, fuck, I gotta do something with this rabbit in the play now as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Rabbit does have to be in the play.
I believe... So we've spent the beginning of our play. I mean, we had Ferdinand, and then we had Guinevere. And then we met Lancelot, didn't learn his name, just learned a little bit of backstory, and now we're sort of following him as he goes.
Yeah.
You know, the background shifts. Mm-hmm. The turns are tabling. If you will. Things are moving around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we end up in a different set that's very similar to like Guinevere's home set, but just, you know, different enough that you know it's a different guy's house. Mm-hmm. And there is, in fact, on stage a live Angora rabbit. I don't know why it's special that there was one for the costuming department to look at if there's one in the show. Just don't worry about it. No one's allowed to touch it.
Well, it's the side hustle of our thief gig, like, team, is that we are also part of the rehabilitation efforts of the Angora rabbit. This is our first heist.
And also the costume department never gets to see the rabbit because they're working behind the scenes.
Mm. Yeah.
It's only limited on stage every now and then.
They only bring the rabbit out for tech and then for actual runs. And the way that we learn more about Lancelot as a character is, of course, that he breaks out into song about this girl that he just met on the street, tap dancing and rubber chickening as you do. But it's all sung to the rabbit the way that you'll sing to your pet so that it's normal to monologue about yourself is how it is framed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. I have no lyrics in my heart for you.
What is the song about, though? Like, is the song, like, what is the gist of, like, what he's saying?
Oh, well, because you see, he's met this girl and they have so much in common, but he can't open his heart after a recent boat tragedy.
Yeah.
Even if they can connect over it, you can't get hurt like that again. Mm. But it's a very poppy note.
Okay, so it's
very
sad thematically, but it's like a real bop to listen to.
Can it be like
choreography around the rabbit
king? Like, I want a ship that doesn't sink kind of thing. It's like the vibe.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this.
There are no ships that never
This is
sink,
our first failure for the play.
No.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Why doesn't it land?
You know, the thing about having a limited availability for the rabbit to actually be on stage because they're so precious is that the rabbit is not used to it and hates it. And it's like really obvious that the rabbit's not digging all the lights and the sounds, and the audience picks up on the
vibes. One point, I think there's like a stagehand all in black that like crawls out and like has to hold the rabbit, and the rabbit just
bites
like
him.
The rabbit's just like jumping, like trying to jerk its way off stage.
And I imagine that at some point people are like, hey, is that like an Angora? Aren't those endangered? Like, is this an animal cruelty? That rabbit does not want to be, like, that shouldn't be here, right? Like, those are really, really, like, not good in the wild. Like, wasn't there a mass? Oh my, and there's like a whole lot. Now there's conversations about like the ethics of using live animals in plays. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of permeating.
Middle.
Not only is that rabbit endangered, but so are we, the audience, because the play's so bad.
Classic.
What a good zinger from the Muppet guy.
Yeah. So glad Waldorf said that.
Uh,
How's the vibe?
It's possible we're getting too into this.
I'm loving it, though. We should take this on the road.
We have to do this 3 more times.
Hey, so at Gen Con, we're like launching this, right?
Yes.
Like this is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we can still submit panels, right?
Welcome to Slut City, Gen Con.
Welcome to Slut City. It might also be a retelling of Arthur.
Okay.
Slut City. It's Chicago with some minor Arthurian mirrors.
Yeah.
Lancelot's thing.
And Guinevere.
I got 2, which is my own prompt. And that prompt is moon shoes.
Moon shoes. Oh, moon shoes. Something anti-gravity shoes.
I went more or less with 90s things. As my
we all took different directions and they're all equally valid.
Yeah. So the moon shoes, the heist. Okay. With Henrietta out of play, the stakes have gotten pretty dire. I think now it's time we have to get into the rigging. And we got to get into the play itself. We need to cause a distraction to make sure that the audience does not look in the direction of where this is all going down. And so I think if Waldorf and Statler and the head of Lin-Manuel Miranda are on like the stage left side booth, we're gonna have I think Stones is who we're gonna call this person. Stones is a kind of squirrely non-binary, like super androgynous punk rock, like just kind of cool ass person.
It's so fun. You said their name was Stones and you didn't need to describe them. Like I had the exact picture.
We all know Stones.
Know Stones. Yeah. Everyone knows A Stones.
Yeah. So Stones has been like kind of like I can picture them like looking around the corner and seeing the debacle with the rabbit happening and being like, yeah. that happened. And it's going to go around into the backstage area and is like fully all dressed in black and is going to like stealth their way through to like some of the lighting fixtures. Now, getting up there is tricky, but not for Rocks. Stones.
No. Nice. Close.
Rocks is a nickname, actually.
And they're twin
Rocks
moms.
Is a nickname that only their close friends call them. Stones. Stones is their legal name. So Stones gets back there and needs to obviously get up high to get up into the rigging to cause this distraction. And obviously straps into their moon boots to do so. And where the fuck did I put my coin? Here it is. Okay. I really set this up as a pass-fail sort of situation, so I really hope that this goes well. I don't know what the lose outcome is. When that's a lose, that's a failure. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. Okay, hold on. So Stones straps on the moon boots. And should be able to get like one good bounce and be up in the rafters. But I think what happens instead is that Stones bounces, gets about halfway into the ropes, grips on, and the rope is gonna like pull like on a curtain or something that isn't supposed to be closed and is gonna like start a commotion. Not the one that they intended to create. And so people are going to come over and start tugging on this rope, pulling Stones down. And Stones is going to have to very quickly run away, but they're wearing moon boots, so it's gonna be like a very boing, bouncy boing.
They're plotting for sure.
Yeah. As they have to run and evade the people on set trying to now find them. But I think they're gonna get away, but the intended distraction is not gonna happen. In the play. It's been an emotional scene. I think we're due for a party scene.
Yes.
A party scene in which our two star-crossed victims of random mysterious parental death will both be in attendance. Organized, of course, by Ferdinand, who comes back out and announces the party. Audience, you are of course invited. Everyone is. This is Slut City's event of the year. I want you dressed in basically nothing. Bring no inhibition. And ooh, brings everybody in. And the party is like a... It's basically like what if like a really rich person was tasked with throwing a DIY punk show is what this is. So like it's like it's like two like things look like when rich people try to mimic any sort of grunge idea. Everything is like super nice and polished, and like there's like graffiti, but it looks like really like crispy and perfect, and like,
yeah,
there's a sticker toilet, but all the stickers are like evenly in a grid, like all on the and so at this party, everybody is to it obviously has to wear a mask. What do our two lovers' masks look like?
Do we lean into ship and helicopter, do a sea and sky thing, or do we make them both change?
That's really good. See, because both of those are really strong.
Both of those are really strong.
I think Guinevere's mask is a kind of like incorporates both, where it's like a half-broken ship that is like coming out of a screaming chicken's mouth. So it's like a chicken's mouth which is fully open, and then out of the mask is like a ship that is clearly crashed. So it's like their mask is like, it like goes down because it's like kind of hanging off. Yeah.
Delicious.
Dramatic.
Thank you.
I think with Lancelot, we'll go a similar sort of macabre call to the way the other one's parent died, and do sort of like a wings outstretched bird, but it's upside down, so it's clearly falling, not flying. Yeah.
That's nice. Very good.
And there's like a little dance scene, and then Ferdinand is the instigator in this, who as the narrator of this story, as the storyteller and the weaver of this, will dance with each of you first, and then kind of pull you closer together, and then like sort of bows out and excuses himself from the scene, placing you just facing each other in the middle of this grungy little... I can't explain.
We are really good at dancing. I can't here. Explain. Absolutely.
There's some real life dancing happening, and it's very...
There was jiggly. Wiggling. Yeah.
It's very...
There was movement happening in the real life, for sure. Yeah, we totally agree on that.
Imagine you're two people facing each other, and you're just keeping parallel lines, just sort of wobbling back and forth on your parallel line.
Yeah.
That's
what we were doing. It's a real cool... In the year 3024, it's a cool as hell dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody knows that this is how you properly court each other.
Yeah.
Ferdinand bows out and leaves you two. The spotlight shines on the both of you and the background dancers. The music slows down. They start to dance in slow motion, but you are in real life. You are the moment.
Now, are we thinking that they recognize each other from the masks? Or is it very much like, oh, they don't know who each other are?
I mean, the point of the masks is that you don't.
True.
And they've only had the one meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe it's another meet cute.
It's a second meet cute. These two don't get together throughout the whole play. They just have meet cutes over and over and over again.
At the end, they just recognize each other at the grocery store.
They're like, oh, shit.
That's
crazy what happened to my mom
babes.
And your dad. That's it. Slut City is the home
There's
of
no
meet
coincidences
cutes.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why everyone keeps having meet cute, because every time you meet someone, you just act like it's the first time.
This is a failure.
Oh.
Meet ugly.
Meet ugly.
It's meet ugly.
Yes. I have an idea.
Make a suggestion.
If I can. My suggestion would be that while you guys are mid-dance, there is a mysterious third person also wearing a rubber chicken-themed mask that causes Guinevere to wonder if this person who she thinks she's meet-cuting with is the same. And I think it should be another mask with a similar tragedy. I don't know.
It could be like both of them colliding.
Yeah,
like it's a helicopter colliding with
a helicopter colliding with the ship for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about that?
I feel very good because it adds to the mystery element of the whole thing. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
So like they dance and it's like it's nice. Mm-hmm. There's this like, you know, it's very tender. They're like in each other's arms, but they don't know it, and it's that kind of warmth that only comes with kind of like holding someone that you're like kind of like interested in, even though they don't know that. But then Guinevere keeps, none of the audience is paying attention because they're all looking at the guy.
Yeah. He came out too early and like and so it's like kind of slightly in the shadow and people aren't sure, like, are we supposed to be looking at that?
He's not lit yet, but like it's
there's
really
a guy
nice.
There.
It's really taking a lot of the stage presence. The problem isn't that the scene isn't acted well, it's that the person with the rubber chicken mask has such good stage presence that no one can stop looking at them.
Yeah.
It's just outstanding.
It's a real shame.
I'm so sorry. I know this is a weird thing to bring up since we don't know who each other are at all. But that guy over there, he reminds me of an accident that my mother was in.
That one reminds you of an accident?
Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, my mother was in an accident where a helicopter hit a cruise ship.
Oh.
And it's kind of like,
that's so strange.
Why is that strange?
My father was in an accident where a cruise ship hit a helicopter.
Wait, that's so strange. Part three, that's so strange. Because I met someone the other day who had the same thing happen to them. Well, I guess you can't be the same person because cruise ships are really big and it was a really big deal. So a lot of people were on the cruise ship.
Right. It had to have happened to everyone.
It had to happen to everyone. Everyone knows someone who was on the cruise ship that got hit by a helicopter.
There's a reprise of, it never happens twice. Except this time it happened twice.
The third guy is still just standing there.
All of the background dancers are free to leave the slow motion, and everybody is like, and this time it happened thrice in New York City. And the party is over. And that's going to be Robin. That's going to be your turn next.
All right, hero.
You're going to have number 11. I don't think we've rolled that yet.
No, I don't believe so. We've had 10, maybe?
Yeah, I have 11.
Hell yeah. Bring it home, baby. What we got?
Okay, well, this one, we can make it more of a prop. Because initially, I had the word hurricane. Because nice. Lin-Manuel likes to use it. But I like to think it's like those like blue silk ribbons that people use for storms and the big metal sheeps that go for the noises. So that's what you got. Silks and womp. But perfect. Specifically the fact that Lin-Manuel Miranda loves putting the word hurricane in songs.
Loves putting the word hurricane.
It's a good word. He does it a lot.
Speaking of, Harvey, successfully having distracted, looks at his watch and is like, about this time, the Big Mama is doing a really funny bit in Big Mama's house too. So they'll be perfectly distracted me to do part two of my distraction plan. Because it's all sci-fi world. Actually, not because it's sci-fi world. I think this was a thing in the 90s. The little... it's like the little thing that you would have in like a kid's bedroom that is just like, it's a thing that's half full with water, and then when you press it, it like makes it like, you know, makes
yeah
that
like I know exactly
thing.
What you're talking about.
Hell,
and sometimes
yeah,
they had the little things in it and that like float around.
Yeah absolutely. And kind of sneaks up to near where Lin-Manuel Miranda is and throws out one of these toys, and it starts like spinning, and there's a little hurricane, oh my god, like outside Lin-Manuel Miranda's room, and a member of staff walks by and they're like, oh my god, that's like a tiny hurricane. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda, depending on whether it's successful or not successful, hears, oh my god, there's a hurricane, and is so overcome with curiosity and joy that he has to go see it.
He loves hurricanes.
Is a success.
In the hall, there's a hurricane and it's tiny. It's so tiny.
And then Miranda.
He's just a head, right?
He's just a head, but he has little. I picture him with little robot like legs.
Ow!
Yeah, he can move around.
Like from Toy Story?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Sid, like that little creepy head from Toy Story, yeah.
Horrific. In my head, he was in a jar.
I also thought in a jar.
He's also in a jar, but the jar is being held up.
The jar is on the spider on legs, naturally.
Yeah.
Understood.
Walks outside in Robin's best Lin-Manuel Miranda impression. Oh my god! I don't know how he sounds.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. It's a hurricane.
Whoa!
He bites his lip really seductively at the hurricane. And then, as his little robot legs walk toward it, Harvey like pulls string attached to this little hurricane, and it slowly starts moving further away from him. So then Lin-Manuel Miranda walks out of the hall and to Harvey, where Harvey puts a bag over Lin-Manuel Miranda's head and is like, "We did it! We did it!" We did it.
Heist over?
Not heist over, because we need to get out first.
Yeah.
There's a lot more.
And
to
people
do.
Are going to be wondering where Lin-Manuel Miranda is.
Oh, I'm way ahead of you on that one.
Nice.
Hey.
In the play, in the musical, mm-hmm. Slut City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweeping the nation.
Sweeping the nation. Will be soon. Sweeping the planet. In charge of the whole planet soon. Guinevere is looking, like watching a news report of the helicopter and cruise ship crash, and they see that there is like, as the helicopter like careens kind of out of its like airspace and flies in, that there's like this like gust of air. But and then again, Google's like, large gust of air, Slut City? big gust of air knocking helicopters out of the sky, hurricane knocking a helicopter out of the sky, and then there's like, oh, there was a small hurricane that knocked the helicopter out of the sky and flew into the cruise ship, and it's like, But a small hurricane, it's not just a thing as a small hurricane, it would, everyone would know about that. And then it kind of like makes this mystery of like, someone must have started a small hurricane, localized hurricane, to knock the helicopter out of the sky into the cruise ship. And I seem to be the only one who's connected these dots. So I need to find out this mystery. And then there's this whole song of like, you know, in the eye of a hurricane, there are helicopters, like that kind of thing.
I think it's more, it's inspired by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So I think it should be like spoken, like in that spoken rap.
That's it. Yeah. And then over the course of the song, she figures out that the only way that she's going to solve this mystery, she's never going to solve this mystery in Slut City by, with, you know, this big jumper, with this long skirt, with this Handmaiden Tales, like, headpiece, whatever it's called. So she must instead integrate herself into Slut City and become a slut. Or, like, you know. I feel like embrace us calling slut this city. Slut City is...
Embrace Slut City.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Naming this Slut City is rife for people. Rife for people making it sound like this is a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
When it's good because it's freeing.
Yes.
And it's like there's this hurricane on the stage that kind of like tears the Velcro costume off and revealing her like Act Two outfit going into Act Two when she's integrating herself into Slut City. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we could flip the coin to see if this is successful or not.
The audience likes it.
The audience likes it. Or if they
there's
think it's like
a lot
really
of wardrobe
weird left
things
field.
Happening too.
This is a failure.
Yeah, yeah, so really it could, a lot of things could go wrong.
This is a failure.
It's a failure.
Whoa.
The hurricane that's supposed to just tear this tearaway clothes off, this like repressive outfit off of Guinevere, gets the clothes actually get caught on her, and she gets swept away in this hurricane because they're using practical effects, and so it's like a real hurricane that they're making happen, and she kind of gets swept away and kind of goes up into the rafters a little bit, and then as the hurricane like ends, she falls and gets actually like, oh, I twisted my ankle, I got actually hurt as I fell to the ground.
Oh no.
And she like hits the ground really hard, and there's like a yelp of, oh shit, this hurts. And she tries to play it off, but a bunch of people are in the audience are like, ooh, gosh.
Yeah.
I think that's rough.
Yeah.
I think up even into the rafters part, people were like, wow, this is really cool. Like, they're really going for it.
Yeah, this is huge. And then she falls and then she hurts herself pretty seriously.
Oof.
Gonna have to bring on the understudy.
One of your swings.
Oh, no. Devastating.
Possibly the understudy. Or she could just have a crutch for the whole thing.
We get more intensive dancing once you've embraced Slut.
Yeah, it is like
there's a lot of
the
high
second,
kicks.
The second half of Slut City is so good, and like you just can't perform it if you have a sprained ankle. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Mills.
It's all no singing. It's
what
all
do
bad.
I have?
It's
just nine.
It gets really experimental in the second half.
Okay. Nine was mine.
Great.
And it's
delicious.
So I think I had a backup one for this one because I just wanted to make a joke here. And I'll tell you both of them and you guys can pick which one I do. So in Hamilton, there's a character who's called the Bullet, because anytime a gun is fired, everyone dances in slow motion. And she moves from the direction of the shooter toward their target in a straight line where everyone's doing swirly lines in slow motion choreography. So that was basically the concept that I had written out. And then the other backup one, because I admit that was a little left field, is just a bag of weed. From 21 Chump Street.
Great.
Oh, the one specifically from 21 Chump Street?
Yeah. They're all Lin-Manuel Miranda references.
Yeah.
Which one would you guys rather me work with in this media?
What do you feel more comfortable working with, I think, is the better.
Equally uncomfortable, to be honest.
Just like
Let's
with
go.
Your first prompt that you gave me, I want you to feel comfortable. So I want you to feel real settled in.
You to feel at home in this space.
I thought we'd all like rhyming.
It's just not a prop, is it? It's just not an app.
You just work it into what
you're
doing.
I'm on your team, Millie. I'm on your team.
Thanks. It's just not a prop, Mills.
Neither is this. A bag
of the bullet in neither.
I gave a bag of weed. Okay. So I think what happens here is we have Lin-Manuel Miranda's decapitated, still living head in a jar on spider legs in a bag.
Yeah.
We should probably buy ourselves some time. Statler and Waldorf are probably going to notice pretty quickly. So we need to put a fake Lin-Manuel Miranda head in the spot where the original one was. I imagine he's very polite at the theater. He's not going to talk a little bit, and Statler and Waldorf are not going to notice that he's not talking. So we just need something vaguely head-shaped and jar-ish to put there. So I think what happens is going to go backstage to find a prop in the play that we know is going, that was used in Act One as a set piece. And we knew it was going to be there, but we couldn't take it before the first part of the play because then people would go and they'd looking for it. We don't need anyone on high alert. So I think what's going to happen is not Otis, because Otis is standing guard. So probably like Botus is going to go and try and blend in backstage, dancing through all of the people who are kind of warming up to blend in to try and get the I think it was like an aquarium fish tank from the background of Guinevere's house from the first flashback.
Beautiful.
He's gonna take that and he's gonna shove a rubber chicken in there. And hope that's a passable Lin-Manuel Miranda as they dance through.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Can you flip a coin on that?
I can surely do.
There were so many times as we were planning this heist that you did that and Harvey was like, oh, we got him. That's yeah. What?
That
I can't believe it.
Is a success.
Of course it
oh,
is.
Beautiful.
Obviously.
So, yeah. So they dance their, Botus dances their way back through the stage to secure that. I think what even happened, since it was a success, is that on the way back, they are in on stage, but like there's a couple lines of dancers for whatever song is happening next, and they're just sort of like moving through it, and the audience just thinks that that's another high concept thing. Like, no, you have to see the direction that all of the actors and all of the dancers are moving every single moment. If you stare at this one guy throughout the play, I promise it pays off in the last 10 minutes. And very deftly puts the head back where the other one once stood.
Okay.
And then sneaks out back past Otis, who they just happen to have similar names. No relation or anything there.
Right, right.
No, not at all.
No. Okay, good. What's happening in the play?
What is happening? Well, our lead got an ankle injury. And like we said, we're gearing up. I think we're about to get to the big, what is it, ensemble number that happens before the intermission, I'm sure. So this is going to be kind of a like throwaway, not a throwaway song, but, you know, not as much plot's going to happen here because we're basically just gearing up for that. And I think what happens now is Guinevere's understudy is now taking part in a very intensive solo piece. Well, not a solo piece. It's a solo song. And it's just kind of about, you know, this new information and trying to make sense of the world, trying to find your way in Slut City when you're just a girl. And And there's a lot of jumps, there's a lot of twirls. There's the Lancelot standing on one side, kind of doing a thing, and she dances. Oh, it's like a dream ballet situation. She dances over that way. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then there's this mysterious other person with incredible stage presence that honestly, I don't know. Guinevere 2, Guinevere 1 was barely like keeping up with that, but I don't know about Guinevere 2 and like the back and forth. And then in the background, you see like projected, there's the swirl of a hurricane, and then the waves turn into a capsizing ship, turns into the propellers of a helicopter, and it's all spinning and back and forth in Slut City. And she doesn't know what to do. And we should flip the coin to see if she can bring it home for the big finale.
She cannot bring it home. It is a failure.
Oh, no.
And right at her big note where she's like doing these twirls back and forth across the stage, and she's singing about how she's stuck in Slut City. It's just, she just trips. And she doesn't catch herself. She doesn't hurt herself. But she's a little bit paranoid after the rafters. And when she gets up, just entirely freezes.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
it's so noticeable because there's just a very specific movement and everyone else is dancing around. And at first, the audience thinks it's, again, like a character choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it takes her. It is not even too long. It's like 15 seconds. But 15 seconds in the middle of a song. And it just like barely getting back on track. And as the rest of the ensemble begins to move, and it just kills like what was one of the like big character moments of the first act.
Oh, my God.
Dang. That's heartbreaking. That's tough.
She's just a girl.
Okay. So that's devastating. truly. Haley, let me roll you a.
I'd love a number.
Have we done 12 yet?
No.
Oh no. I'm so okay. What is 12?
Mills, you're gonna hurt me.
12 is the line where the sky meets the sea.
Jesus. So like how do you envision that being used in a heist? Sort of the general
horror
concept
play.
For Horizon. Horror play.
Although it is on theme for the story we've built with these
it
two
is,
lovers.
It is.
Yeah,
it
is, actually.
We can make it work. We
you
can
make it work.
Work
in the play actually very easily, I think. You could project a horizon line. It could be, you make it work. You're smart.
Oh, yeah, def, Mills. I'm trying to think of any instances of something resembling a horizon line that one might see when they're inside a theater building. Give me a moment.
You could always do a bag of weed. That was my backup one. Or if it was too esoteric, I wanted to build in and out. I know it's very high concept, the props I bring to the table.
Sort of the thing about you, Mills, is you're just a high concept guy, you know?
It's so insufferable of me. I do apologize.
Don't apologize to me. I love this.
It makes you an incredible creative partner. And sometimes it makes me want to shake you until you fall down.
I'm bigger than you.
You know what that means? I'm scrappy, Mills. Come on.
And young and hungry.
And hungry.
Let's go.
I get you at the knees.
Oh, it's a mid-roll. Ha, did you know that I have to record these live as the episode is airing? It's a real time crunch, and the timing is an absolute bitch, I gotta say. I have to run all the way from the A suite, get past the Sphinx that guards the elevator, and down into the studio right at the exact midpoint of the episode every single week. These conditions are unreasonable. Anyway, I do have some news for you to put your peepers on this week. James D'Amato, my friend and the creator of this show and network, has a new book out now as part of the Ultimate RPG Guide Collection. This one is the Ultimate RPG Game Master's Guide, which includes both advice and actionable content to help you GM better. I'm going to link in the show notes to where you can order your own copy. And before I continue on too long, please let's hear a word from our sponsors and get back to the end of this series.
Good Lord. All right. Lin-Manuel Miranda has been captured.
Yes.
Yeah. The flawless duplicate has been put in his place.
Oh, yeah. And wait, let me just interject here that this is the end of Act One. So
Yeah.
So we may want to have a cliffhanger of some kind.
And it's about to be intermission. So yeah, whatever we do has to put us in a solid place that during intermission, the audience won't see anything weird and that the crew moving things around during intermission won't do anything weird. So I can't do anything super goddamn weird. But we have Lin-Manuel Miranda's head in a bag.
Yeah, we do.
Jeezy crees. Mills, it's not a noun.
You could take the bag of weed.
I don't want the bag of weed. You could get Lin-Manuel Miranda high?
Well, it's a prop weed, so it's not real weed.
Prop weed?
It's just oregano.
Yeah.
Just sprinkling it in a bag, crushed up. It's a kale salad.
Yeah.
We can't bring real weed. That's illegal.
Oh, no. Weed's illegal in New York City?
In New York City in the 90s, yeah.
Different, it's in space. Space weed's gotta be legal.
Oh, no.
Well, if it was space weed, it would have been spice. This is regular weed.
No!
Oh,
damn it. I think I'm going to take the general concept of horizons and veiling.
Okay.
We're gonna do shit with curtains, Mills, if you'll allow.
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you're just playing in the sandbox with me.
Yep, and I love it here. So I'm going to... We have Lin-Manuel Miranda. What we definitely don't want is for Walter and whatever up in their Muppet balcony to realize that something's been replaced and then for them to like do something about it and try to go get him. Can they leave the balcony? I don't know my Muppets lore.
No, they have to be hoisted out. They can't. They can't.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, I don't want anyone else going into their balcony either.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to do with this prompt is say that somebody's gotten the signal that we've got Lin-Manuel Miranda's head out of there. That balcony, the way into that balcony, we don't need it anymore. It's figured out. So my guy, Jonathan, is coming in with a big sheet. A big, heavy blackout curtain sheet that is painted to look exactly like the wall and doorway, but we will affix it to the wall over the entrance into that balcony. And make it
nice.
Cover up the door. Make it one of
Looney
those
Looney Tunes.
Yeah, oh, Wile E. Coyote wall paintings.
Love that. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Could they eventually get through it? Yeah, maybe. Are we gonna notice? Yes, we are. So I'm affixing a Wile E. Coyote blackout curtain over the balcony doorway, especially if the Muppets can't get down. Makes it so much less of an issue.
They're completely screwed. The door's just vanished.
And it means they're not going to be trying to get down during intermission either. So,
true.
Does okay.
Does everyone like
Let's
my painting?
Let's see.
I worked really hard on it, Dylan.
I loved it.
I love it.
Dylan, I spent days on this blackout.
He worked really it's hard
successful.
On it, dude. Come on.
Yeah, because Jonathan's an artist.
It's successful.
You're lucky that Jonathan dropped out of art school to do this criminal thing. That's what I'm saying.
We're all very lucky. for that, and so is he. I think this is far more lucrative than what he was going.
He was doing really good painting fake tunnel entrances on the sides of brick walls, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then God was arrested concept. For it. Yeah, well, he was a public mess. And...
And his choice was be arrested or join this
or join
crew.
This
much like much like taking the black in Game of Thrones. He had a choice.
I've joined the group that's going to take down Lin-Manuel Miranda's team.
Look, once you get arrested once, you're like, I might as well be a criminal. And also, hey, if we end up winning this whole thing, I can become the chancellor of painting doorways and tunnels on walls.
That's right. My favorite branch of government. So Jonathan wins.
That wins.
Okay, that's my first success.
That is your first.
Congratulations. I'm so proud of you.
And then I think the sort of closer to act one is it's got to be one of those like big ensemble kind of like building pieces. You've got everybody in Slut City dancing around on the turntables, swirling and whirling. They've got ribbons to mimic storms and hurricanes. They are singing about the line where the sky meets the sea is where you found me. And it builds. And it builds. And Guinevere and Lancelot are coming towards each other, dancing from each side of the stage. And it looks like they're finally going to meet and actually see each other. When who's that in the back?
What? Who is it?
It's Guinevere's mother. And she appears. No! And you just hear Guinevere, and the lights go out.
Holy shit. That's a crazy, that's a good, that's good.
It's a success. It's of a course. Fucking success. Holy shit. Okay.
Damn. I don't want to play this anymore. Haley, just what's the rest of the show?
Okay. Okay.
All dance numbers we've talked about.
It is intermission.
It's all dance numbers.
It's all dance numbers.
The rest of it sucks.
The whole rest of it.
they never answer what that was.
Just like so like many it never plays, happened. Act Two is a disappointment. So, two things.
That's where all the high kicks are.
Two things. Yeah. In intermission, what we do is we read out where we're at in terms of how we're doing in both the heist and the play. In the heist, we're doing well. It's a 5-3 success.
Nice.
In the play, it is dead even. It is a tie in success and failure. It could go either way. Ugh. So, gamers, let's go. Let's do Act Two. We're going to do Act Two should be two rounds per person, but we are a little bit pressed for time, so we're going to do one round per person and finish our act on this next round of players. So we're going to be back up to me. Now, there is another special mechanic in Act 2 wherein we still roll or draw a prop, but we are allowed to add a second prop from Act 1 that's already been pulled if we want to. So you have to use the prop that you roll, but you also can incorporate another one from the previous act. So, oh God, okay. Did we draw three?
That's
no, because that's mine.
That's yours, so you would
okay.
know.
Okay, this prop was, what's left of the Statue of Liberty? So.
That's a great
that's
one.
Really fucking good. Why is that a new York thing? What happened?
Yeah.
Also, I love that you open this by saying all of yours are 90s themed. And then what's left of the Statue of Liberty? Yeah. That famous 90s thing.
Did they not tell you what happened in the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh my God, no, they didn't.
No.
They had to rebuild it out of cardboard and plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that remained is...
In 2090, when New York blew up. Okay, so we've got the head. But the situation's precarious. getting it to the truck is going to be tricky. There are a whole bunch of people not distracted at all downstairs. And I think that what's going to happen is alarms start to go off in like the hall in the back as we're all starting to converge and like run away trying to get this head out. Obviously, not all of us. Some of us have joined the art department.
yeah, I also think it's funny because isn't the premise of this game that we are doing the play as a cover?
Yeah, the play is a
cover. So we also, okay. we like set it as a cover, but then we're also like meeting everyone.
Yeah.
It's great.
So some of the emergency doors shut closed. And I think it's actually Stones, who, although had a really bad flop earlier trying to get into the riggings to do a distraction, has come around and leans down, like crouches down, pulling out a bag of tricks and reaches in and pulls out just like the tip of the torch from the Statue of Liberty. Just that little tip.
Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip.
Just the tip.
And
just the tip,
though, is going to use it to try to unlock these special gates here. And is just like, it's just like, everybody calm down. I got it. We'll be okay. And it's a success.
Beautiful.
And
let's go Stones.
Let's go Stones.
Let's go Stones.
Let's go Stones.
Stones kind of uses it and pops that door open, like just in time for security guards to be like running around the corner. We're able to go and like shut the doors behind us, and they jam the torch into the locks on the other side to buy us some time. At the same time, on stage, there is a silhouette as the curtain kind of fades and flickers away to Ferdinand, just on stage by himself, leaned against, like, just like the sort of like decrepit bottom half of the Statue of Liberty. It's just a skirt. And he's leaned on it like it's a pole smoking a real cigarette. You thought that there was no way she could come back. I don't know what this accent is. It's gorgeous is what it is. There could be no way that she could come back. And there could be no way that this could be an accident. Could it all be an accident? Is anything that happens an accident? And I'm bringing back the rhyming.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do it. Nice.
I was hoping you would, but I didn't want to say anything.
I have written down words, like ways that I could rhyme the same word again.
Yeah, I also wanted to pull that one it. Back because I just like rhyming shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about the cadence.
The mystery is not yet solved. And the lovers have yet to truly meet. And will sort of back away to gasps in the theater. As do I pull that off?
Let's Are they see. Gasping?
I don't.
Not again.
I don't. Oh no!
I don't.
They're tired of the meat cues.
they're like, just fucking meat already.
What is happening?
Meat already.
It's like when you watch a new Spider-Man movie and we're like, we get the origin story. You don't have to.
Please
do
stop.
Or another Batman. Like, we don't need to watch it. We know.
They shouldn't fall in love. They should fall into the Hudson, is what. Yes. And that will be Robin.
What number have I got? Gamer?
It... Seven? Have we done seven?
Nope.
A Mission Impossible-esque Lin-Manuel Miranda mask.
Damn.
Wow.
You know what? Good. Harvey, knowing that the head of Lin-Manuel Miranda is in safe hands with Bodis?
Yes.
Yes. Bodis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. It's in Bodis's capable hands.
Very capable, strong hands. Harvey then says to himself, it's time for act two. Pulls over an insanely accurate Lin-Manuel Miranda mask. And then kind of walks into the security office, Big Mama's house too, closed out when, intermission was on. Hey guys, I grew legs and a body again. So if you see me as just the head, don't even worry about it.
Announcing this to the guys watching the security cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
I was hoping it would just be a bold-faced lie. Just here I am, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, I will say that it does say instead of flipping a coin, you can add a second prop from Act 1 into the callback, and that lets you choose whether you succeed or fail. But you have already flipped it.
I did. Do you want to do that, though?
No, I want you to tell me my fate. I don't want a cheat chance.
It was a failure.
Ah!
The security guards look at him and they're like, yeah, that just can't happen.
It's been centuries. You didn't just suddenly get all of it back.
Hey, pal, that ain't how bodies work. He ain't a lizard.
It happens slower, for sure.
Grabs Harvey, arrests him.
Oh, Harvey!
And then turns to the rest of the security guards and like, hey, keep a real strong lookout for the head of Lin-Manuel Miranda, friend, you please, because I have a feeling that this wasn't an isolated incident.
Should we go check on it? Should we go up there and look at the head, just make sure? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. That sounds healthy. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, they go.
And they run up. But then when they get to the hallway, beans, they can't tell where it is because of the perfect Wile E. Coyote painting that has happened. So they're up and down there for a bit.
It takes them a while to figure it out. For sure.
God, I swear the door was here at some point.
Yakety Sax is played on a rubber chicken.
As Ferdinand was at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Guinevere and her mother are at the top of the Statue of Liberty. But the Statue of Liberty's face has a Mission Impossible style Lin-Manuel Miranda mask over it, because the face of the Statue of Liberty in this new New York is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That tracks with everything else we've set up world building wise.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So all this time you were alive and everything was a lie? How could you make me believe that you were dead? Says Guinevere to the mother.
You.
If someone wants to play the mother.
You chose to
I will
believe.
Do both if you want this
wait,
to
wait,
be a one-man show.
I think Mills is froze because I think Mills was doing it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, what? Yeah.
Okay, you're back. Yeah, do you want to be Guinevere's mother?
I did want to be Guinevere's mother. Is that cool? Was someone else wanting
Perfect.
To be it?
Absolutely. No, I'd love that. Perfect. Okay. Please do.
Okay, can you, what did you say? You said the thing about, and I said.
I thought you were dead. Yeah.
I didn't try to trick you of anything. You chose to believe that I was dead. I mean, the helicopter was perfectly intact from what I've heard. There was no sign of anything. I've been trying to find my way back to you all this time.
But I saw the footage. A hurricane or something took the helicopter and it careened into the cruise ship. The cruise ship definitely crashed.
The cruise ship crashed,
I think.
For sure. Absolutely.
But you survived.
I was in the helicopter, and everyone knows helicopters Everyone knows a helicopter will beat a cruise ship in a fight.
Oh,
I
yes.
After
future
the
future rock paper scissors. Helicopter cruise ship hurricane. Rock, I think.
Stones.
Helicopter cruise ship hurricane.
Well, as soon as the initial impact happened, the helicopter, while perfectly intact, couldn't fly very well, and I made my escape on a lifeboat, and I've just been drifting at sea, floating from hurricane to hurricane, hoping one of them would take me back to New York City. Back to you, my love.
I searched for so long, and I thought, Mother, this is going to sound silly, but I feel like I've met someone. Well, two people, I think. And my heart is torn in twain because the one thing we had to bond over was the fact that both of our parents had died in the hurricane helicopter cruise ship accident of last year. Mother, do you have any advice for me? Anything that can help me through this predicament? Which one do I choose? Do I choose either? Do I cut off all connection because it's just too embarrassing of a situation?
I don't think any of this is embarrassing at all. Well, I also found someone.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Stop it.
It was a while ago after. Oh, I froze. Oh, I'm not frozen. Am I not frozen anymore?
No, your voice is coming through. Your
okay,
voice is
great.
Coming.
I just also want to say I flipped the coin. It is a success.
Nice.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
In the aftermath of the crash, I was drifting on a lifeboat by myself for however long we established earlier that I had been drifting, but maybe minus a few months. And I came across another person also drifting in a lifeboat. And for a while, we drifted together in between the hurricanes when it would allow, but...
Oh my God.
You can't control a hurricane any more than you control the beating of your own heart. And as much as I was looking for you, I was looking for him too. So if you've found someone and you've met them at least once, maybe two or three times, you have to go for it. You have to be
I'm
a little
sure
bit of a slut
about
just
it. Once. That's it. Then that's where the music hits.
Yeah.
That's the perfect moment. That's where the music
the
hits.
The classic number, you have to be a slut about it, comes
you
on.
You have to be a little bit of a slut about it.
A little bit of a slut.
And it's the best song. It's the best song in the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's the mother's one song, and it just kills. It's great.
Yeah.
God. The one in the alto range. I know it well in the musical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's right. Yeah, that one's great because Ferdinand makes out with every chorus member in that song.
Yeah,
it's great.
And then Manuel Miranda, Statue of Liberty as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the big, like, final, like, as the big bit is going. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Then they kiss the big mouth on Manuel Miranda, Statue of Liberty.
Mills, that's you. I'm going to
okay.
roll you a number.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, dang.
Which is mine. And
the loneliest number.
This is a talk boy, which is the recording
is like a Walkman
playback thing that Kevin McAllister had in Home Alone.
Perfect.
Where he could like alter voices and play them uh-huh. back at like a different pitch so it would be voice encoded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, God. Botus catches up with Otis. We're moving. The security doors have started closing. The alarms have gone off. Security is aware that things are happening. You managed to pick a lock, I think, through an exit to provide us a way of egress. Henrietta's nowhere to be found. I have to assume she's captured. She just said something. and we have Lin-Manuel Miranda's severed head in a jar on spider legs in a bag. And we've got to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just about getting to the getaway car, and we peer around and we see that there's just like a line full of security officers who are just looking around. They're not turning around 180 degrees, but they're looking side to side with their backs conveniently toward us.
Yeah.
Trying to keep an eye out for anyone who's anyone who might be amiss, and for Lin-Manuel Miranda's head. And I think what happens is Botus says, "Hey, it's me. I'm Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I'm over here." And I think does another one and says, "No, it's me. They've got my head, and I can't move because I'm in a bag or something. It's very dark. I'm over here." And I think I record like a few of those.
That's really good. That's
so and because good. Because Botus is like the brains of the operation, right? Botus was the one who came up with the insanely clever fake head on chicken. Rubber chicken idea is there's like a delay on it too. So you wait like 30 seconds before you record. So he presses play on them and then like throws them all throughout. And then they lie in wait hiding. So at different times, based on when they delayed the recording, it'll start playing as if it's Lin-Manuel Miranda's voice all over. And if you would flip a coin, we'll see how that turns out.
Okay, okay. Let's see how they
All right.
That is a success.
And it works flawlessly. The first Lin-Manuel Miranda, everyone heads that way. And then the second one starts. And all of a sudden, all of the security realizes they don't know where the real Lin-Manuel Miranda is. But they have to check all of them because one of them's got to be the real thing, right? In the meantime, as all these are going off, actual Lin-Manuel Miranda has probably figured out what's going on because he's just in the
bag.
No, it's me. I'm over here. And they don't hear it because there's so many other fake Lin voices happening. And then records Lin-Manuel saying that just for later, just in case. And then they start making their way to the getaway car. The path is clear. The light is good. They have no fear, nor no one shut. And they jump in. And
oh my
I'll
God.
Leave that okay. scene.
Perfect.
What's going on in the play?
Okay, well, a pretty big bomb was dropped.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a little bit of a cute, you have to be a little bit of a slut dance in Slut City.
Yeah.
And that kind of just happens more as a like transition thing to like kind of move the stage a bit. And I think we see Guinevere walking in the center of the stage, heading toward Lancelot. And she runs up to him and I think announces that she's finally decided to follow her heart, whatever way that means.
Beauty. So Guinevere is telling Lancelot?
You can decide what Guinevere wants to say. You've been inhabiting her this whole time, and I want to give you that. Like, but I want to say that you're deep in the role. Yeah. The conversation with her mom provided some clarity on how she's feeling with these conflicting
Perfect.
Emotions.
And,
yeah.
So, all right. My hip thrust, like hip fire scene start. Not hip thrust, hip fire. Thank you very much. My sexy little hip thrust idea for this scene is that Guinevere is like sat on a bench feeding the birds. And then Lancelot comes by. Feed the birds. And then Lancelot comes by, sits on the bench, and then also starts feeding the birds. And this is another meet cute. Yeah. And they don't recognize each other because the masks aren't there and they don't have a rubber chicken.
So they're new guys, basically.
This is new people. So like tearing off pieces of bread and throwing it. And then as Lancelot sits down, there's this big like, continues to throw bread out. Oh. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
It's okay, I didn't ask if I could sit here. Is it taken?
No, please sit. So to catch you up on what I'm going through.
You seem stressed. Are you okay?
Can I throw a wrench into this real quick? Yeah. I would like to have Ferdinand just come out to and like walk across the stage and to thematically remind us that within the next two scenes we have to answer the question, does the end justify? Means, I think Ferdinand will just walk across the stage with that question on a sign and walk off.
Well, to catch you up on all the things that have been going on. A few years ago, my mother and my father got divorced because they were very unhappy. And then last year, my mother went on a helicopter ride for her birthday because I bought the ticket and she was really... And because she loves helicopters. Damn, she loves them. And... and then as she was flying, there was a small hurricane that swept her up, much like, you know the game, helicopter, hurricane...
Cruise ship. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it crashed into a cruise ship that was just there, and the cruise ship crashed. And I thought for the past year that my mother was dead. But it turns out that she's actually alive, and she was out to sea. And she met someone new. And all this time, I was feeling such heartbreak. I was, watching our favorite movie by myself, and, you know, I was crying, and it took me so long to get rid of all of her stuff in the attic. But then, you know, it turns out that she's alive. And she says that she's happy and that she's found someone. But after all this heartbreak that I went through, even though, yes, she's happy now, I had to go through all this sadness. And I'm just wondering, do you think the ends justify the means?
What does Lancelot say to that?
Yeah.
I think a happy ending can be justified by a whole lot. It doesn't really matter what you have to go through to get there as long as you can get there in the end. But it's the strangest thing because my father... died when a helicopter crashed into his cruise ship. Me and all seven of my brothers pooled our money together to get him a ticket on this cruise ship. And a helicopter crashed in, and just like in Hurricane Helicopter Cruise Ship, it capsized, and my father's was presumably lost to us. But if your mother's alive, I guess who knows?
That's so strange. There you go.
Oh yeah, I'm just gonna narrate what's happening on the stage as this happens, and then you see, what are they called, the talk boys?
Yeah,
that you pre-recorded the things and replay it.
Yeah,
all of the you see the chorus comes out, and they're doing this like slow dance with these. Each one has a rubber chicken, except when they squeeze it this time, it plays a recording from earlier in the play every single time they've met, where someone has detailed the thing, them meeting, them talking, the mom talking to them, and then another thing that we didn't even hear in the play, which is the mom in the ocean talking to this guy about how she was in a helicopter that crashed into a ship that capsized.
Oh,
and
God.
He says, that's so crazy. I was just in a ship that a helicopter crashed into and it capsized. And we see it's just echoing the same conversations because it doesn't, you know, we're trying to figure out if the ends justify the means, but remember, it's also, the middle's not important. It's important how it starts.
That's right.
It's important how it starts.
And
that's the that must be the name of the song. It's important how it starts.
Yeah. How does the audience feel about that?
It's important how it starts. That was in fact a failure.
No.
I think that this.
Oh,
I think that it's,
get out of
in
here.
Fact, too high concept it's for high an audience to really. It's like.
Yeah. No. It like was a very big swing.
The overlapping talk boys.
Yeah, they weren't like, quite loud enough to actually even catch all the dialogue. So it's just like, well, yeah, like, is that a recording of?
At first, it's like, okay, you know, like, oh, this is cute. I see what they're doing there. And then the other ones start and it's like fun, except then all the dialogue and it's like that like mechanical sounding noise too from like cheap old recorders.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very bad to listen to. It's just cacophony. And by the time you get to the end, like, hello, like there's certain phrases like, but that's so strange that work and everything else.
Yeah.
And plus the fact that they're in the chickens means you still get some of the chicken honk noise when you squeeze on it, and it is not pleasant.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
They're like, why didn't we just do, they're like, we should have just mixed this beforehand. We could have just done this in the studio and played a pre-recorded mix, but no, we needed the physicality of the pieces there.
Yes. Of course.
Oh, damn.
Holy shit. Okay.
Well, that scene was a win for me.
That was a win in my
the
heart.
Audience.
Haley,
yeah.
Haley, yeah. My love, take us out.
Oh,
what is
darling.
The? So, okay, so I will say this is the last scene that you will be in charge of, but then we do all get to decide the final scene together. So you don't have to do the finale.
Gotcha.
You just get the last scene that's going to add to our successes and failures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did we do 8 yet?
No. That's one of the ones I've been slowly curling up as confetti in my fingies, which means it's one of mine.
Oh, beautiful.
I got out paper and scissors, and that was really a mistake. A trombone soloist? A soloist on the trombone.
Great.
Dang, that's good. Dang, that's so good.
That's pretty good. Excited to hear how that comes into the heist.
Well, can my two things be one thing?
Yeah.
Because here's what I'm thinking about a trombone soloist helping you out in a heist. If you've got a guy planted in the live orchestra with a trombone, he can have a signal where it's, we're getting Lin-Manuel Miranda's head out of here. You need to
draw
every eye in the room, every ear in the room.
Yeah.
Run up onto the stage and start doing a trombone solo at an inappropriate moment.
Like, I don't know, when there's a cacophony of recorders all playing the same sound bite all on top of each other, and the audience also doesn't know what's going on.
Right. And
I think the audience is like visibly groaning, and so they're trying to turn them off, but they're all stuck inside a rubber chicken, and so they're just trying to find where the off switch is.
And then a guy with a trombone hops onto the stage.
Yeah.
It starts doing crazy slide runs as loudly as possible. Trombones get loud as shit if you're trying.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's a success.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
Otis says as he hears it through the walls of the place.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The tromboning slide stops and you hear a, yes, chef! And then goes right back into it. I assume that success is for the heist because no way this is good for the play. But
yeah, I don't know how the play is going to recover.
We'll see. We'll leave that to the coin.
Yeah.
So just the entire audience was already thrown off and now they're all covering their ears. Because this guy does not know how to play the trombone. And nobody's happy. Security's trying to figure out how to get this guy to leave. All resources zeroed in on trombone guy. I don't know what to say about the play.
It's beautiful. Well, the song of the meeting is just met with a trombone solo. It's like, it's great.
Guinevere and Lancelot have to start improv dancing as though this was the plan. And that's the experimental dance numbers come in.
And this is Guinevere 2, mind you.
It's Guinevere 2.
This is Guinevere 2.
Improv.
At the beginning of the heist, they're like, okay, during this play, we have this script, but at some point, there's going to be a trombone solo. That's the end of the play. Wherever it plays, it's the final scene. Bring it home when that happens.
We can't tell you when it's going to be. You just need to be ready.
We wrote like 6 hours of play.
It got worse and worse. as it went.
There's like there's five acts.
Just in case.
A trombone doesn't sound entirely unlike the musical equivalent of a rubber chicken horn. I'm so just saying. It probably does fit.
Yeah. Especially if you're not very good at playing it, like this guy who's just out there living his truth, doing his best.
Did we determine if it succeeds or fails?
I just rolled and it is a success.
Nice.
Hell
one
yeah.
One of the two pulls it off. She brings it home.
It's
and I
really
think this trombone guy's probably good at it.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we just paid a guy off in the orchestra. The orchestra doesn't know what the fuck's going on either. They're like a professional orchestra and they're like, okay, it's trombone solo time apparently.
Yeah. Show must go on.
Ferdinand was about to run on stage to pull him off, but then realized that the audience was starting to feel sexy. And he was like, oh, yeah. I can't interrupt this. This is exactly the kind of vibe that we need for this show. And at this point, I think everybody like comes back on stage, like we're slowly bringing an ensemble back to highlight. But our couples maybe are in the center, do we think?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that the second person, because I assume Guinevere looks kind of like Kermom, right?
Styled similarly, yeah. At least. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be too confusing for the audience. We have so much high concept stuff, some things we need a one-on-one. I imagine that the other mysterious person who was following around Guinevere and Lancelot can reveal, like, take off the mask, and it was Lancelot's father.
Yes!
Looking for Guinevere's mom.
Yeah.
Shit.
And too nervous because it felt really awkward because he'd been away at sea for so long and forgot how to talk to people.
Shit, that's good. Fuck.
That's amazing. Okay. So now for our finale, where we finally answer the question, does the ends justify the means?
Yeah.
And we close out this play. What we can know is that the heist, based on our tally, is overwhelmingly successful. We have gotten the head of Lin-Manuel Miranda into our getaway car. And Sinead is driving us clean away. The play has failed to reach our audience.
Weird. It's not
It's not by a huge margin, but it is down by two.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after this winning, like, scene, this big trombone scene that does win over the hearts and the minds of the audience, what is the most, I think, middling way that this show could end?
I do have an idea here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
I'd love
for
to
it.
Hear it.
We
I'd
told
to it.
All of the cast, hey, when this trombone solo happens, no matter what the play ends. Yeah. I don't think we really gave them a, like, and here is how you end the story.
Oh, my God, yes.
Or, like, okay. Here's how it... I don't think we got that far. I think we were assuming it would sort itself out.
Not our priority.
So they're all dancing, and then the trombone solo goes for a while, and then eventually trombone guy is like, this is exhausting. Am I done? And all the actors are, like, improv dancing, and they're also like, how long are we doing this for?
Absolutely. And I think it just stops.
Yeah. And like that, because they planned 5 hours of content, so many questions from Act 1 and 2 don't get answered.
No.
Who was the guy at the party who had like the crashed ship with
that
all
was
the
so,
things?
That was.
Oh, that was him.
But the audience doesn't know that, yeah, really, because we didn't know. Explore that in thing.
Oh, sure.
I think the most important question that didn't get answered is, do the ends justify the means? Which absolutely does not get answered.
I think The issue is that Acts 3 and 4 really dig into the intrigue of like what it means to recover. We get the couple of Guinevere and Lancelot like striving into the world, but it's hard and it's difficult, and they're navigating these parental relationships and like the people that they become trying to avoid becoming their parents and all of this. And it's just, unfortunately, the trombone solo did happen part of the way through the second act. So there's just, we barely even set up those plot hooks for the end.
And it's wild as well, because Act 3 is like objectively the best.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
4 and 5, they just have skeleton for it. They didn't do that much work toward 4 and 5. They're like, yeah, something's happened in 4 and 5. 1 and 2, they're like, is this anything? And then 3 is like, this actually owns. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is so sick.
Act 1 was just like, okay, we had to introduce these characters. Act 2 was like, we have to like get them to what happens in Act 3, because Act 3 is so strong. We just need to get that far and it'll carry the rest. Oh, no one will give a shit about anything else once we get through Act 3.
And Act 3 is where the big number Slut City is in.
Yeah.
Like, so the reason for the name is in Act 3. And it's like, why was it called Slut City?
They mentioned it a couple times, but like,
yeah.
Yeah, she like got changed to like go into the bowels of Slut City, but then her mum came and then they kind of pivoted real hard to that scene.
In the beginning was like, it was like a big deal that she didn't look like a slut.
She's the best slut.
Yeah. The audience leaves and they're like, they're so confused. They're like going out to drinks after just being like, I just did you, but like there are some couples that you'll find out where like one of them is just like, no, I do get it. Of course I got it.
Yeah, I
and
get
you
it.
You didn't catch on to the metaphor then that Slut City is.
Yeah,
is just,
no, that
is
guy
is
like,
us,
looked
right?
like, yeah, the guy looked like Lancelot because that's his evil twin, clearly. Come on.
I hate it.
What did he look
like? You froze.
Oh, no, you froze.
You froze, babe.
You froze. Who is the guy look
the
like?
The guy looked like?
You'll never know. Oh, I put in that. that one guy looked kind of like Lancelot because he's clearly his evil twin, or it's like a shadow of himself, or he's not real. There's just so many different theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the Slut City is in the soul of the characters.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like Slut City is that universe.
So I think it's safe to say that we don't win presidency of this planet.
It's a real shame.
But it doesn't matter because we've stolen Lin-Manuel Miranda and we're usurping the whole idea of theater being controlling.
Can someone remind me, what does stealing Lin-Manuel Miranda's head do?
I think
because Botus like would know, but Otis was just here for it, you know?
Well, he was the overseer, right?
Yeah.
This is, by the way, this is a canonical conversation we have on the as we're riding away.
Yeah,
like,
Otis
what's the point of this actually?
And at that point it's when Sinead turns around and is like, we're gonna get all of the coffee that we could ever want, first of all. Second of all, we're gonna be able to make all the decisions about musical theater in this town.
Oh,
so it was about
hell yeah, brother.
Yes, Captain.
The end, baby.
The end. Perfect ending.
Yeah. That's it. Oh my God. My apologies to Tyler. I'm so sorry. Thank you for making this game and thank you for letting me play it. Thank you all for joining me. Can we just do a quick little round of just reminding people where they can find you? I will have links to all of your things in the show notes, obviously. But Haley, could you just remind everybody how amazing you are.
The most. I'm Haley Whipjack. You can find me all over the internet. You can find me on TikTok at Whipjack, W-H-I-P, Jack. You can find me on Twitter at Whipjack, W-H-I-P-P-E-D, Jack. You can find me on YouTube. I'm Haley Whipjack, and I make videos that are way too long. And you can find me at Unprepared Casters. This is my podcast.
That's right. Robin, please.
Hello, beautiful, wonderful people. Thank you so much for listening to Art Theatre, the perfect situation, the perfect movement that we have definitely just started. My name is Robin. I, outside of this, primarily GM The Atomless, which is a Starfinder show about a bunch of broken people flying on a broken spaceship, trying to do all the good that they can and failing often. We should be in the middle of our horror arc at the minute. And speaking of horror, I also GM a short series called Frequencies, which is about a group of creative people who have a radio show and then having to battle the like manifestations of anxieties about being a creative. It's very, very good. Dylan is in both. And it's fun. It has music. It has some really good music, actually, because we got licensing for some fun stuff. And it's great. Go listen to that. Or Captain Krail on All Things is also my Twitter. That's important. I go.
Amelia.
Hello, my name is Amelia Somm. You can find me most places at Amelia Somm or by going to links.ameliasomm.com. If you want to see the things I'm doing, that's the best way is to follow me somewhere. If you want to continue listening to me play games wrong on purpose. And yeah, also I do that on the podcast Unprepared Casters with Haley Whipjack. And yeah.
That's it.
You're very pretty.
Delicious. Beautiful. And we will see you for a new series next time, heroes. Thank you and good night.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists. Greed by New Alchemist. Like Lavender by Matt Wigden. We're Outside by Work Brunch. Hudson Hawk by Neon Beach. Spring Unfolds by Moments. Beat the System by Cody Martin. The Flamingo Heist by Dresden the Flamingo. Perky Buns by Ivy Bakes. Unchained by Luna Ray. Breakfast Club Breakout by Paula. Escape the Oppression by Andrew Stanton. With Great Vengeance by Moments. Demogorgon by Cody Martin. Just When You Least Expect It by Late Bloomer. Sweet Memories by Adam Sabin. Heist by Thor, and Wistful from King Flamingo. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Thank you, heroes, for listening to what is definitely a very good and serious homage to Chicago, Slut City. Haley, Amelia, and Robin are some of my favorite people on Earth to play games with, so I hope you enjoyed them and their antics, despite the fact that, yeah, brother, Herd Chef, and yes, Captain, haunt me in my dreams now. Please check out Robin's work on The Atomless and Haley and Amelia on Unprepared Casters for more incredible games and storytelling. And before I go, if you enjoy theater, which this game, Scene Thieves, is really inspired by and surrounding, and supporting those who make it, you can check out an incredible feat that was pulled off really recently, a live-streamed, completely remote performance of Romeo and Juliet that was hosted on Twitch recently. It was a great fusion of mediums, something to see, and I really think you should check it out. The people who made it put clearly a lot of work into making something like that happen and happen well. So I think it's definitely worth putting your eyes on. I'll drop a link in the show notes for you to check out, and I will see you next week with a new game to play, heroes. As always, thank you to the wonderfully generous people who support One Shot on Patreon. But if you want to support the show in a non-monetary way, it is as simple as just talking about the show. Tell your friends about the show, rate or leave a review, or tag us on socials and tell us your thoughts. For updates and One Shot news, please follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at SuperDillin, that's SuperDillin, or check for updates on our website at oneshotpodcast.com. For information about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or a general comment, please message me at Dillin@oneshotpodcast.com. Again, that's D-I-L-L-I-N. Finally, the music creeping up behind me is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cap Records. I can't wait to have you back for our next adventure, heroes.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.